So, how are things?
Well, Brad, I've had a week.
Have you?
Let's see. I had a little bit of a tummy ache on Monday, and then I went called my doctor on Tuesday morning, and she was like, you should go to the ER for your tummy ache. And I was like, really? And she said, yeah, you should definitely go to the ER. So I went to the ER expecting to spend like a couple hours, maybe get a CAT scan done, you know, then sent home with a referral to a doctor. And instead, I got to spend Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night in the hospital.
Jeez, three. Was it really three nights?
Yeah, right. That's what I said.
Do you know, do you realize in retrospect, okay, look, I'll grant you were in the hospital. You probably, you know, keeping me abreast of the goings on was not top of mind for you.
I was extremely online whilst in the hospital. I had a lot of time.
You were so low key about being admitted to the hospital that I talked to you steadily for the better part of 2 days and had zero idea you were in the hospital.
Well, I mean,
I think it came to light when I asked you if you wanted to hop on and record something real quick. And you were like, well, I'm still in the hospital and I only have my phone on me. And I was like, wait, what? Hospital? What are you talking about? Hospital? But since when are you in the hospital? Also, the way I read that sentence, you correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I read that was not you saying, hey, I'm in the hospital, I can't record. It was, I only have my phone, I can't record.
Yeah, I would have done it on my phone if you were okay with it.
It's like if you had had the proper recording set up in the hospital, you would have just gone for it.
It's a little noisy. So TLDR, I'm fine. There were a couple of brief moments of excitement. I had a blocked bile duct and normal gallbladder stuff due to the American high fat diet and led to a blocked bile duct, which caused some pretty serious complications, but everything's fine. I'm going to make a full recovery. I have to have surgery in the new year. And they just didn't want to let me go until my liver stuff was kind of settled back down a little bit.
Got the log jam in the old bile duct.
Turned a little yellow, Brad. Yeah.
Oh my God. Someone I know when I described your condition to them immediately said, is he yellow?
The whites of my eyes got yellow. Okay. And the fairer parts of my already pasty complexion were slightly yellow tinged.
That the person in question will be very excited to hear that answer.
Yes, good.
Is that
good?
Is that,
deduction there. But yeah, so they went and they scoped me on Wednesday. They reamed out my bile duct. Everything's running nicely again.
It was great.
Just I laid down on a table in a weird room with a lot of instruments.
The word ream, it feels too violent.
No. He was very delicate. He had very good hands.
I have a hard time hearing medical procedures be described.
Look, I just assumed he was going to get in there with a brush. And when he showed me the thing he actually used, I was like, oh, yeah, that looks much better than the way I would have done it.
Some steel wool pipe cleaner.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I had a lot of pain on Monday. I haven't had any pain since. Occasionally, like there's a singularly unique sensation when I eat something with any fat in it and my gallbladder contracts. And like I can feel it because there's stuff in there that normally isn't.
Yeah.
But other than that, everything's cool.
A lot of salads in your future.
Hey, I've been eating a lot of fish and rice. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I bet you feel better.
Like I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Okay, so here's the cautionary tale out of this whole thing. When you have pain, don't try to tough it out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do that this time. I did that with the appendectomy and that was almost real bad, but like go to, you know, if you have pain that's bad enough that like you and like normal stuff doesn't make it get better, call your doctor. And when they say to go to the ER, go to the ER. Cause it's important. It's your body's way of saying, hey, stupid, don't, you know, something's wrong. Like get the professionals involved here. Cause if I had waited another day or two, I would have been in a real bad spot.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We're glad you're back and on your feet.
It turns out also, Brad, if you drink enough water, you can pee up to 3 liters in one 12-hour period.
That's too much peeing.
I did a lot of water drinking and a lot of measuring pee.
Wait, did you get a cath?
No, didn't get a cath for this.
No.
No.
Could you have?
I mean, like, have you ever had a catheter before?
No.
It's not something you seek out.
You're probably right.
Yeah. So I was under like light sedation for the scoping and I didn't have the surgery yet. The surgery will happen next year, early next year.
Okay.
So
brace yourself. Well, hey, congratulations on your forthcoming weight loss.
I cheated death, Brad.
Yeah.
Cheated death.
Well, you're back.
Yeah, we're back. So the TLDR on all of this is we don't have a new episode this week because of the infirmities of my meat body.
Yes. It's been a challenging time.
It's Christmas and we have everybody has a bunch of stuff going on. So We did what every podcast does in this circumstance and dug deep into the archives.
That's right. That's why I literally wrote that in the deck of this episode, except I called it the vault instead of the archives. Because look, Disney figured this out decades ago. This is all about marketing.
Oh, so wait, sell this one again is what you're saying?
Yes.
If you're listening to this, PayPal $5 to...
We're going into the vault.
No, it's this is one of our favorite patron episodes. One of our early, like this was, I think this was the one of, I don't want to say it was the first one that I was like, oh man, that was a good episode. But this is like, this one's a banger.
It was a high concept patron episode, I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're not a patron, so if you're a patron, you've already heard this and we apologize. Yes. If you are not a patron, we do several different kinds of shows for the patron. Sometimes it's just a real loose chat where you and I sit down and we talk about whatever's front of mind that day. Mm-hmm. And it's just like super loosey-goosey and kind of fun.
Stream of consciousness, you might say.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like run over questions from the Q&A episode. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're planning episodes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's something that like we think is kind of cool, but aren't sure it's big enough for a full episode to do. Sometimes we have a patron spotlight.
Yeah. Oh yes. We've done a couple of great patron spotlights. We have a lot of interesting patrons. We should do some more of those.
We should do more of those. They're good.
Sometimes it's just like a project check-in on stuff we're working on.
Yeah, exactly.
This one is the
black sheep in the herd.
Perhaps the highest of high concept patron episodes.
What is this episode, Brad?
This one took research. I made at least 8 bookmarks for this one. We dug back into the archives. Wow. I availed myself of Google's Usenet archive.
Yes.
To dig up a bunch of my old 90s Usenet posts.
And don't do just hey, if you're thinking at home, I should dig up some of my 90s Usenet posts. Maybe beware.
Look, we embarrass ourselves so you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
You pulled some posts from what, the Ars Technica forums. I think there might be some other stuff in there.
It's like Ars Technica. There was a couple of early Shack News posts. I think we talked to. I was one of the first posters on what became the current iteration of the chatty
is it,
thing.
It's not still Jazz, is it? I forget.
No, it's something else now.
Okay.
But it's still, I think it all goes all the way back. And Steve, and we were friends with Steve at Ars Technica, and he was like, hey, will you come check out our message board?
That's cool.
So we came and checked it out early.
Was it Larynx?
It might have been Larynx at that point.
Larynx.x.
Or it may have been chat.y at that point, too. Okay. Chat.ty. I can't remember.
Yeah. Again, though, yeah, like actual apologies to our staunchest supporters, the patrons who have already heard this episode because they don't get a new episode this week. And we do feel a little bad about that. But you
can laugh at us again. It's fine.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And thanks to everybody who listens. We will be back. I mean, I guess next week is the first episode of the new year. So next week we'll do questions. This should have been a questions episode.
Oh,
so.
You're right. Wow.
And we'll do patron thank yous next week as well for all of our patrons.
I guess we could have banged out an episode then. We had a topic and everything.
I didn't have time. I got back from the hospital like 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. I'm a little booked.
No, seriously. Also, I have to point out that you literally texted me yesterday and said, hey, they're kicking me out of the hospital. Can I drop Nog off?
Well, look, Gina had been busy. It had been raining. It's been raining really hard here.
All I'm saying is I would have been fine to wait for like until next week for the Nog. But you came straight here from the hospital to deliver the Nog.
Oh, no, dude. We had to get the Nog out of the fridge. We like 22 quarts of Nog.
Oh,
turns out will fill a normal American sized refrigerator. Wow. So we had no room for other food.
Oh, I didn't think about it that way.
Until we dumped it. The Nog had to go.
OK, well, I'm glad to have. Happy to have made the sacrifice for your refrigerator.
Hopefully you react to it better than I did. I'm off the Nog this year, sadly. So
condolences.
I know. Just tell me how good it was and I'll see you all next year.
Anyway, yes. Henceforth, some dramatic readings of some of our more embarrassing artifacts scattered around the internet.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy the Patreon episode.
Dude, people are not paying us for bad Gollum impressions. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to put that part in.
I'm sorry. No, we've already started.
It was too loud. I'll blow people's. I don't want people to have ear bleeding because of me.
That's what audio editing is for.
Hello, Brad.
Hi, Will. How's it going?
Welcome.
How's
your throat? Our 13th consecutive patron episode.
Yes, 13th annual. It's all celebrating 13 years of excellence.
Yes, 10 to the negative 23rd years of it's the tree pollen here is so bad right now that when I cut some branches off of a pine tree outside my house yesterday, there was like a cloud of yellow that just hung in the air afterwards. So yeah.
excuse us. It is hard to talk right now.
Yeah.
A lot of throat crud, which is really going to do gangbusters for this episode, where we're probably going to be doing a bunch of dumb nasally voices, I'm guessing.
Yeah, my throat crud is actually the name of my throat singing. I got nothing. Okay,
your,
never mind.
Your interpretive analogy or anthology of Ars Technica posts from the turn of the century.
Yeah, today I wanted, Brad, you suggested something. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. And then I started reading these old posts. And I was like, oh, this is just going to make me feel bad.
Uh-huh.
So
it's too late. We've already committed.
Yeah, it's too late.
Welcome to the patron episode for the month. Did we say that?
Yeah, I did. Okay. Hi, I'm Will.
I'm Brad. Hi, it's, yes.
It's early in the morning.
Early in the AM, which is not helping our throats either. And also, I can't keep track of things, but.
So
yeah, this
people suggested this.
Yeah, Usenet came up on last week's podcast.
Yeah.
And previously it had come up on the Discord, and we were kind of digging around through our old posts, and then it was just like, why don't we spend a Patreon episode reading some of our old posts
and talking about our thought process at the time? Oh, so I can go back to this. I can remember.
Dude, can you? Because I feel like I'm reading a different person almost.
Well, I mean, look, I'm probably the person that was me before I moved to California and the person that was me after I moved to California, two, like, not wildly different, but like, the experience of moving as a person who grew up in a small town and then lived in a slightly larger but still smallish town, and then moving into like downtown San Francisco and living and seeing, like, living someplace where on any given day I'd hear six or seven different languages spoken.
Sure.
Was a incredibly transformative experience for my understanding of like what it means to be human, like, sure, the range of human experience.
Yeah, like that'll happen to anybody who moves to a major metropolitan area. But I'm guessing the timing was also a factor. I don't know what age you moved out here, but I was
25.
Yeah, I was 23 when I moved out here.
Yeah, well, and so there's a thing that happened. I mean, look, I've gotten old and ossified, and I don't make new friends now outside of my daughter's school.
It happens to everyone.
Yeah, but like,
just keep telling yourself that.
Well, but I mean, at that point, like, I moved into this terrible apartment in Lower Haight where I had ready access to crack anytime I wanted it. And
okay,
I didn't want it, for the record.
Did you say, just wanted to clear that up. Did you say Lower Haight?
Lower Haight, yeah.
That is Lower Haight is the only place I have been mugged in this town.
Scott and Waller is where I live.
Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah,
one block off of Haight and Divisadero.
I got mugged right in front of Buena Vista Park at about
that's a good place to get mugged.
About 1:30 in the morning.
Yep. I
somehow talked them out of taking my wallet.
Oh, that was nice.
They were pretty small time, I think.
Did they have a knife, or were they just imposing?
They didn't have anything. They threatened to use their fists.
That's enough.
And we gave them the cash that we had on us and talked them out of taking my identifying information and such.
My Buena Vista Park story was that I was walking back from a bar at like 2 o'clock in the morning on when the 2000 earthquake that killed the Sonoma one, that the brick wall collapsed and killed a couple people.
Oh boy.
It was a pretty good earthquake. Didn't notice.
Wow.
Okay. That's how drunk I was. I was just, you know, having a worst. It wasn't a good time. I had problems.
Yeah.
It's since changed my drinking habits pretty significantly.
You know, your 20s in a major city, especially in a tech related industry.
It's funny. When I moved out here, I thought I was moving into a tech related industry. And then I very quickly understood that print magazines are even a print magazine about technology, not a tech industry at all.
Yes. Fairly backward looking, I'm guessing.
You want to jump in here? You want to pick out a dumpster dive?
Like, I feel like I should start at the start, even though I feel like I've brought this thing up half a dozen times. In fact, this is kind of the genesis of this whole thing, is somebody on our Discord found a thread on Reset Era.
Oh yeah.
Where somebody, did you see that? Where
I saw the link, but I didn't dig into the thread.
Somebody posted on Reset Era all excited about their new hobby of going through old video game posts from 20 plus years ago, because they were not old enough to experience that era, and seeing people talking about, you know, everything from the N64 to the PS2 to, you know, Zelda.
Oh yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, hold on. Were you anti Zelda?
Oh, dude, okay. Wind Waker is
I mean, I know you're not now because you're a decent human being.
A sublime work of at the time I was very excited about it. I thought it was rad.
See, this is the thing. I'm going to be interested to see if this exercise teaches us that we're drift compatible or that we were opposite children.
I mean, you read me a few samples before we started. They sounded like they could have been written by me circa the turn of the century. So
these things happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that thread on Reset Era dug up this post, which I know I have also referenced multiple times on Giant Bomb. So I apologize if people have heard this one, but let's just start at the start here.
Do it.
Here's a post that I wrote on February 8th, 1996.
Wow.
When I was 16 years old on alt.games.finalfantasy.
Okay. The number one Final Fantasy Usenet group.
Yes, that was a news group on Usenet. If people are not familiar with Usenet.
Usenet was kind of like message boards, but for the whole internet and with some really established rules. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Now people just use it to pirate movies.
Yeah. And TV shows.
Yes. Okay. All right. Here's this post for February 8th, 1996, entitled FF7 ?!
Wait, is this when they said it wasn't coming out on Nintendo? It was going to be a Sony game?
Dude, I scooped Usenet.
What?
I've never done the research, and it seems like the advanced search on Google Groups has disappeared. I couldn't figure out a way to.
Why
like
would anybody need that?
Google Groups. So also, if people don't know, like Google Groups basically archived, I think, the entirety of old Usenet, or as much as they could get.
Starting in like 2002 or whenever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So there are, 30 years of Usenet posts
that
is on there.
Fitz, but, I don't know if Fitz was around yet then. He might have been in Apple or something at that point.
We should talk to him about that.
But, we should find some early Googler and find out what I'd love to know what that conversation was. Like, hey, we have all these computers. What can we do with them? I don't know. Why don't we archive Usenet?
Let's just scrape Usenet just in case.
Yeah.
Thanks for preserving such gems as this one.
Okay. So were you upset about this or are you excited?
No. But what I was going to say is I haven't done the research, but I don't know if anyone ever posted about Final Fantasy VII on Usenet before me. It's possible.
Oh, you think you were the first post?
Not on the internet. Like,
No.
I got this from a PlayStation news website I was avidly following at the time. So somebody else. Anyway,
okay, so you didn't like translate it from Japanese or anything. Okay.
No, not quite. All right. Here's the post. I have a feeling this is not widely known yet, but the Japanese magazine Jump has confirmed that Square is releasing Final Fantasy VII for the PlayStation in Japan this December. It will cost 5,800 yen and will be on two CDs. If you don't believe me, go to vidgames.com, then go to news. I don't know what to believe anymore. Very dramatic. It was very, dude, I mean, it was.
That was the style of the time.
Well, not only that, I mean, like, the idea of a Final Fantasy on the PlayStation was unthinkable.
Oh, yeah.
At the time, it was a scandal. It was like people were enraged. It was a shocking act of betrayal.
Well, the idea that, I mean, you're absolutely right. Like the fact that it's funny, this was a time when I wasn't paying too much attention to console stuff because I was in college and I had a gaming PC and I was mostly just playing Quake like for 4 years.
Of course. Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, it was a weird weird time.
Yeah, like the post said, Jump was a Japanese only magazine, right? So yeah. this was like people in Japan or somehow getting their hands on that magazine from import shops and like scanning it and putting it on their websites. Like that's how the information was getting out there. But that was, as far as I know, Jump magazine was maybe the first place that ever said it was jumping shipped, pun super intended, to the PlayStation. Because prior to that, everybody like they had put out, I don't know if. You probably don't remember this since you were keeping up with that stuff back then, but Square had put out test footage from an SGI workstation of what Final Fantasy would look like on a Nintendo 64.
Oh, I remember seeing that.
Or the Ultra 64, or I don't even know if it had that. It might have been Project Reality, I think was the code name at that time. But the point is they had put out literal media implying they would make the next Final Fantasy on what would become the Nintendo 64. And then this happened. And as I said, I didn't know what to believe.
I wonder if it was originally going to be one of those disc games, the SNES disc, the Philips / Sony,
the Super Nintendo CD-ROM.
Yeah.
The Nintendo PlayStation, you mean?
Yeah, the Nintendo PlayStation.
That's possible. Well, they flat out said that's why they jumped to the PlayStation because the cartridges were too limiting. So
yeah, well, those cartridges could have been hella expensive. Funny, we were talking about this in the house last night. I remember in that the one console I did buy that generation was an N64. Because I wanted Super Mario 64. Like, Super Mario 64 was the kind of game you bought a console for, whether you were going to play anything else.
Yes, absolutely.
And Gene and I were talking about Wave Race, which we literally drove. Oh. We drove to every Walmart in the greater Knoxville area, which, I mean, there were a lot of Walmarts in Knoxville at that point. They were all over the place after work one day, and eventually found a copy of Wave Race that I think was $80.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So expensive.
Yes.
And, you know, in 1996, $80 could buy you like a used Honda. So
it was right. Money went a lot further back then.
Yeah.
Dude, the water physics in Wave Race 64 blew my mind.
Here's you want to hear my first, my sure. first one, my first is post. It,
yes. Wait, is this your literal first post on ours?
On the ours boards?
Ever?
Well, I mean, I posted content on the site because the forums we added after the site had been up for a while.
Okay. So this is a forum thread, not a comment on a news story.
We didn't have comments. There were no comments on. Are you kidding?
Wait.
Look, at that point in time, ours was a front page website where we had to get in ICQ and message everybody else to say, hey, I'm editing the front page. Nobody else open it up. Because if two people were working on it at the same time, the last person who saved would erase the other person's changes.
Let me tell you about a content management system.
Well, look, nobody had at that point. We had talked to people about buying content management systems, and I mean, we were on like, I think we were getting ads from UGO or somebody at that point.
Okay. That sounds right.
We were making a little bit of money, but like our hosting costs were pretty substantial because we didn't really understand that. And it was like, we did not have budget for a content management system and also it was before like, it was before Blogger and Movable Type and all that stuff. So like there was no, it wasn't like there was a cheap, free, open source alternative to an expensive monolithic developed just for UCMS.
Familiar with that phenomenon for sure. I didn't realize that ours was such a startup-y startup at the beginning.
So ours started with three or four guys who were in Harvard Divinity School and one person who was a friend of one of those guys. And they started it running on a Windows NT machine in the Divinity School IT closet. That was just leeching bandwidth from Harvard.
What else do the theologians need bandwidth for?
Look, they were fine. So yeah. And I started about 4 months, 5 months after they started the site. So like I think the first month I was there, we had like 10,000 visits and we were like, man, we've really hit it. This is going great.
You know, late '90s.
Then we got linked on Slashdot the next month, and like that immediately exploded our audience. So
the rest was, hey, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Such as with this forum thread, which I guess was your first ours forum thread.
Yeah. So the forum, well, it wasn't my forum thread. I'm just responding on this one.
Okay.
So this one, the forum thread is ATA66 knocking on the door. Because, you know, late '90s. Uh-huh. Here's my 2 cents. I am currently using a Quantum Atlas 6.4 gigabyte drive with my 2X SCSI CDR and a SCSI Plexter 1220 Plex. I also have an IBM DeskStar 14.4 GXP, which totally blows the doors off the Quantum drive. Before I start rambling, I'll tell you what the practical upshot is. UDMA 66 does nothing for drives under 7200 RPMs. Definitive fact. That's mine. The definitive fact is me right now. Like, my 14.4 gigabyte DeskStar doesn't saturate the IDE bus. It bursts up to about 27 megabits per second. This is important because only one device can use the bus at any given time, so you don't have to worry about multiple devices saturating your entire bandwidth like you do with SCSI. If you have two cheetahs on one SCSI channel, you are wasting your money because they will be able to send data to the bus faster than it will be able to accept it. I'm not sure that was true. Total balls to the wall bandwidth is nowhere near as important with IDE as it is with SCSI. I buy IDE COZ, COZ. I would rather have badass video and sound cards and plenty of room to store all the games I play and apps I use than the fastest hard drive. For what I do, 20 pretty fast gigs beats 9 fastest in the world gigs any day. The only other thing to worry about is most IDE drives are built with a shorter MTBF because they are consumer level parts rather than pro parts. This was on March 1st, 1999 at I don't know what, probably 10 o'clock. It looks like
the more these that I hear, the more I have to wonder, like, there was this specific, like, verbose, like, kind of swaggering nerd style of posting that I can't tell if it was an artifact of the era on the internet or our age or our interest category or all of the above. You know what I mean? Well, like,
we talked about early gaming news sites a few months ago when we did a retrospective on something else, but like, the language that we used at ours early on was entirely informed by sites like Shaq News, you know, what okay. Steve Gibson did at Shaq News,
uh-huh. Sure.
And Billy Mitchell at Voodoo Extreme. And I don't remember what Blue's real name is, but Blue at Blue News and Redwood at Stomped.
Stephen Heaslip, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
I can't believe I remember that.
But it was kind of a, like, it was a weird patois that kind of lifted stuff from like hip hop culture and like old Unix nerds. And I don't know. It was a very specific thing for that period of time. Maximum PC Boot was responsible for a lot of that too. Cause like they called everything MOBOs and like they were aggressive abbreviators because they only had 150 words to write like as an in-depth review as possible. And it turns out if you have to put motherboard in a review 18 times, having MOTHERBOAR 10 characters versus 4 added up. So I don't know, man.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is one of the least cringy things that I wrote during that time period. So
yeah, I don't know how many of these I can get through. All right. Here's a post of mine. September 13th, 1996. This is right around the time the N64 was coming out, I believe. On rec.games.video.nintendo. In a thread entitled TRU Better Sell N64s on the 29th. I did not write that thread title, just to be clear. Also, TRU is Toys R Us, for anybody who does not know. This is from some guy complaining that he wasn't going to get his pre-ordered N64 until the 30th, the day after release.
Wow.
And he's very mad about it. Anyway, several posts down the thread. Here's me. I don't know if I can do this. This is my favorite TRU experience. I went a couple of months ago to ask about pre-ordering an N64. The woman answered vaguely that it would be out in mid-August, even though Nintendo had been advertising September 30th since February.
Oh, no.
She also told me with confidence that it would be $500, although, again, the price had been known for some time. She then proceeded to compare it to her Packard Bell, groan, and concluded that the N64 could not compare, despite the fact that she had never seen it. I left with a general feeling of disgust.
Oh, there's your episode title. I left with a general feeling of disgust.
I can't, dude. I want to die.
We were all the fucking comic book guy.
I want to die.
I mean, look.
Also, I'm sorry. Can I say one more thing real quick?
Yeah,
I just noticed this scrolling down. Two posts later, replying directly to me with somebody else, like telling a bunch of, you know, complaining about Toys R Us themselves, someone who would go on to be a prominent editor at EGM.
Really?
At Electronic Gaming Monthly. Yes. Like, old Usenet was full of people who like popped up all over the games press.
I was going to say, was it Derek Smart? That kind of stuff. Like, the number of things I found, I'm not going to read. The number of things I found complaining about bad retail experiences where some poor bastard was in there just making $5 an hour and trying to answer questions from the horrific nerds. Like, that was the first time that the internet grated up against the real world was like,
yes,
when like we had information about shit that did, like, I distinctly remember going into Electronics Boutique or Babbage's, whichever one was the current owner of that spot in the mall, and asking when they were going to get the Quake 1 disc, which, if you recall, was a shareware disc that you paid like $8 for.
Yep.
And then you went to their website and put in your credit card, I think without SSL probably. And
definitely.
And they would give you a code to unlock the game on your disc.
Was the whole game on the disc? I ordered the just like full on unlocked retail copy straight from id in the mail.
So I went in and they were like, well, we have this. And it was on the counter. It was like $10. And I was like, I don't want that. Do you have the one that's the full game. And they were like, oh, no, that's not a real thing. And so this is the only way you can get it. I was like, no, dude, there's absolutely one that's the full unlocked disc. And they're like, that's whoever told you that is a liar, man. It was probably from that bullshit internet. Right. And it was, you know, some it was literally some kid who was like 22 years old and was wearing like one of those knit ties with the flat bottom. I remember in a blue short sleeve dress shirt as the manager at the Babbage's.
Oh, and, dude, I worked in electronics boutique for a while. I am well, well, you know, acquainted. That guy. Our assistant manager used to just lie to people about the products knowingly and didn't care. It was a real piece of work.
I've got another one if you want. If you want a gaming one, this is in the gaming extra strength caplets forum on the Ars Lycaon.
Okay,
Messiah -- carrot worst gaming disappointment ? So no, people are bitching about Messiah being bad, and then I get to remember Messiah, Dave Shiny's Messiah, yeah. Dave
Shiny.
Shiny Dave's Messiah.
Dave Perry?
Dave Perry, yeah.
I thought, was Messiah really that bad?
Messiah.
Or just disappointing?
So here's the thing. If you played Messiah on the consoles, I think it was fine. It was a bad PC port, as I recall. Okay. It had like bad control issues for mouse and keyboard or something.
I think it just had like a tremendous amount of hype around it too, didn't it?
And then
did not deliver.
I mean, it's possible that the hype was our fault. Who knew? Brad was in Usenet posting about how awesome Messiah was going to be and then immediately stopped talking about it. Good concept, poor execution compounded by massive delays. If Messiah had come out last summer or Xmas 98, it would have been revolutionary. Ellipsis. Plus, the interface sucks. I can think of one other game that I was anticipating this much and was so disappointed. First one to get it gets a cookie.
Oh,
I want to die.
The next response
is from Moody Allen, and he says, Trespasser, you haven't reviewed any bad games yet. There's so many ellipses in this too. Baldur's Gate ? Treadmarks ? Who wants to be a millionaire ? Moody Allen wins. Trespasser it is. God, I'm so predictable. The problem is that game companies don't send shitty games to me, and I refuse to shell out my own cash for stuff I know sucks. I don't know. I did just buy Messiah, so maybe I'll have to introduce it to my rapier-like wit. Laugh. With two Fs.
Wait.
Oh, man.
Laugh?
Laugh.
Like, instead of an emoticon, just the word laugh?
There were emoticons then. Are you kidding?
No, emoticon, not emojis. I'm like straight up, like, you know, colon parenthesis. Like,
we might have been
remember your roots, man.
It's possible at ours we had some sort of problem with emoticons, because I'm scrolling through these threads and I do not see any emoticons.
Interesting.
I think emoticons were later. I think emoticons were like early 2000s.
I was definitely using them on the IRC. They were very prominent on IRC in the late 90s. But maybe not on forums as much. Like that's kind of what I was getting at before. There's like something formal about the way that people wrote on message boards back then.
It was
like,
definitely a different style than like the IRC.
It almost seems like it's similar to what we were talking about on the episode last week about, like, you know, writing habits from letters, from physical hard copy communication kind of trickling down to the internet. Like, that's kind of the way people would write letters is kind of how they posted on the internet for a long time.
Yeah, right? It's very true. And I signed them all. Everybody signed them with their name, but we didn't allow signatures on our forums because they were a plague.
Usenet has a lot of that too. Just the idea of writing your name at the bottom of every post is so ridiculous.
But you don't sign your Discord messages?
At this point, I should start doing that.
It's funny. I still do //, like the end of line thing on my email signatures.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
That's just like a neat, like, kitschy affectation at this point. It's like retro.
It is. I didn't realize I've been doing it apparently for 22 years at this point, because I do it in all of these posts. I was not Will. We didn't use names on ours. This is worth mentioning. We used handles.
Oh, I was going to ask, when you were posting on those forums, did people know you as ours editor, Will, or were you just incognito as a member of the forums?
Oh, yeah. No, I was ours editor Gonzo, Will.
Got it.
I wanted to be Dr. Gonzo because I was really into Hunter S. Thompson in the late 90s, in my early 20s, as people often are.
Oh, is that where that? I just thought you were a big Muppets fan.
I also love the Muppets, but okay. And it's funny. I've gotten to meet Dave Grohl a couple of times through Tested Stuff. The guy who plays Gonzo.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Back up. His name is Dave Grohl.
Dave Goels.
Oh,
G-O-E-L-S.
You said
Dave Grohl. Did I say Grohl?
Yes.
Yeah, goals.
I was like, is Dave Grohl really into science? Why were you meeting? And then, Dave Grohl, like Gonzo? What?
I'd hang out with the Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl, anytime.
Okay.
He seemed okay. But the handles, they stopped using the handles right after I left to go work at Maximum PC.
God, even that is such an early internet thing of using your internet handle as your byline on the editorial site.
If you think about it, like all of those early news sites, pre-IGN and GameSpot and all that stuff were all handle sites, except for Voodoo Extreme, which was, I think he bylined Billy Voodoo Extreme Mitchell or something like that for a long time, right?
Right, like Shaq News, which was not even called Shaq News at that time. Like,
you mean Scary's Quakeholio?
Scary was the byline on all those posts, right?
Yeah.
God, the internet was so weird. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
What do I want to read here? I don't think I'll read this whole one.
What's the most embarrassing one you have, Brad?
Oh, gosh, I feel like that Toys R Us one was maybe the one. Let me see. Oh, please tell me I didn't close the one. Oh, here it is. Okay. Another alt.games.FinalFantasy. I really liked Final Fantasy in the 90s.
Having just played Final Fantasy VII last year, I understand why. That game's pretty amazing. The graphics back then would have been incredible.
Yeah, it was weird how it held up well.
It's just like I remember seeing the screenshots.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't have a PlayStation, so I didn't play it at the time.
Really?
That was Final Fantasy VII Remake was my first exposure to the Final Fantasy VII OOV.
I'm sorry. The what?
OOV.
Okay, great. I was in community college at the time that game came out. I remember driving straight from math class to the mall to pick up my pre-ordered copy.
There you go.
Vivid memory. This thread is on alt.games.finalfantasy entitled, "This NG is Doomed." NG being news group, of course. Once again, I did not write that. This is, as I said, somebody freaking the fuck out about Square jumping to the PlayStation. Like, people were not having it. But I don't need to get into that other than
people were pissed.
This person used PH instead of F throughout their entire post.
That was the thing people did.
Is it? Was it? Really?
Yeah.
Like the preposition F-O-R, oh, no, they spelled weird. It P-H-O-R.
That might be an English as a second language situation or something.
No, it's
this is just a dipshit.
The post is entirely legible. I mean, their username is Cyber Freak, with cyber spelled P-S-Y and freak spelled P-H. I think it was just a stupid gimmick. In fact, he referred to FF because people would refer to Final Fantasy as FF a lot back then.
Oh, yeah.
He referred to Final Fantasy as PHPH.
Most profoundly weird affectation I've ever heard.
I need to move on. Anyway, this is a long thread and it was just kind of rambling all over the place. And somebody at some point brought up Chrono Trigger and the character Magus and the spell Dark Matter that Magus uses.
I've never played Chrono Trigger, Brad.
Oh, dude, what?
I know, I have gaps.
You should play that game.
I should dig up the mist, hook up the mister, and play some old games on the
you
stream.
You should play, dude. You should play Chrono Trigger.
Is it okay?
I would like to think it holds up. That game does some really interesting stuff that
I'm familiar with how it works. Yeah.
Like the time travel mechanic is wild. There's like 20 endings in that game and you can kind of do stuff out of order and you can because you can time travel to the end of the game at any time, you can finish the game like throughout different points in the story, which dramatically changes how the ending plays out.
Huh, that's interesting.
Like you can go beat the last boss halfway through the game if you're able to do it and like get a totally different ending.
I wonder if somebody's made a pack that lets you not, because it's a little grindy too, right?
I don't remember. Maybe a little bit.
I assume all JRPGs from that era were grindy, right?
They were all a little grindy, yes.
Yeah.
Huh. In response to somebody saying, that reminds me, does anyone know what dark matter is for certain? I'm not talking about Magus's spell. I mean the real dark matter in the universe. Here's my response again. Ooh. At the age of 16, just shy of my 17th birthday, about what I thought dark matter was. Dark matter is, if I'm not mistaken, the amount of various elements in the universe that can't actually be found but is known to be there. In other words, due to the known makeup of the universe, there should be a certain amount of certain elements to make up the rest of it, but it can't be seen anywhere. I may be wrong, so correct me if I am.
Were you wrong? Did people correct you?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
You were wrong.
This is not like completely off the mark. It's like sort of in the general
you're in the vicinity.
Yeah. The big one to me, though, again, is just correct me if I'm wrong. Like, it's this weird formality to some of these.
Well, but I mean, it's weird because like now if you posted something like that, somebody would be like, hey, dumbass, go Google this or look it up on Wikipedia. But like there was no Google and there was no Wikipedia. And like the search engines of that time were so limited that if you tried to search for something that was too generic words like dark matter together, you might actually have a hard time finding something useful. Like,
yeah.
Like it was not like a you can go look this up for yourself type situation in like 1996.
Yes. Well, say what you want about algorithms and their misuse, but they have made search results usable at least.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to DuckDuckGo. I've been using it for like 3 months now and haven't noticed a difference really, which is nice. So, were there a lot of responses to that?
People bridged you? I don't think anybody weighed in on the nature of.
What news group was this?
This was all.games.finalfantasy. That was just a little aside. This is mostly people raging about the Nintendo 64. Oh, here's another one.
You're in somebody. The OT section there, huh?
This is this person has a long Kefka quote and then their signature.
Always a good sign.
Here's this person said, I always thought that dark matter was a form of matter that was so dense it sucked in light, but I'm probably wrong as I always sucked at physical science.
There you go. That person was definitively incorrect.
Yes. More incorrect than me.
Yes. Yes.
In my defense.
I've got another one if you want to go.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I scrolled to the very bottom of the thread. One last person posted about dark matter in this mess of arguments.
Probably. What was the post date on this? Like 2009?
actually still 96.
Okay.
This person responded to that last person about matter that sucks in light and said, that's a black hole emoticon.
Oh,
they did the equal sign parenthesis.
Wait, are you an equal sign parenthesis?
No, I was always a colon parenthesis.
I was a colon and then a small O because I like having a nose.
Oh, wow. I always thought that looked like a clown to me.
I mean,
the big round nose just looked like a clown.
What's friendlier than a clown?
That's let's not get into that. That's
literally everything.
Anyway, this person said, anyway, Brad's right, except it's not necessarily elements, as elements are atoms. And most scientists believe that dark matter are subatomic particles like neutrinos.
Oh, really?
Also, like, there's just a weird aside about this. This is, you know, this is 25 years ago. Like, I assume that the theoretical science about things like dark matter has evolved at least somewhat in the last 25 years.
Well, there was a thing a few weeks ago where somebody came up with an explanation for why the universe behaves in the way, because, you know, dark matter is one of those wedges, right? It's like an idea. Right. It's an idea to fill in our
Band-Aid.
It patches the math where the math doesn't work out on our understanding of the universe. And somebody else came up with another solution that doesn't involve dark matter a few months ago that like is in. That who knows whether it'll be real or not, but you know,
it could be completely wrong. Who would know?
This is in a thread called All Praise to the God.
Oh boy.
It's in the gaming section. Gaming,
oh boy.
Comma, extra strength caplets.
Wait, did you start this thread?
This is not my thread. Shin Gukai started this thread.
I really want to know who the God in question is here.
Well, so, I mean, this was started by a bunch of Divinity School guys, and we had a lot of Latin in the forum back then because it was Ars Technica.
Oh, wow. That's where all the Latin came from.
What do you mean?
These guys were all in like seminary school.
Oh, yeah, of course. They all spoke Latin and Greek.
I did not realize. I had no idea that's why there's so much Latin on ours, because it was founded by a bunch of people in Divinity School.
Yeah,
and
of course.
And they were working with Latin in their education.
Like half of them were able to have Latin. Like I took 4 years of high school Latin, right, which is essentially useless, except for my vocabulary is good. And my understanding of English grammar is really, really well defined because Latin, you know, everything's defined,
of course.
But they were able to speak in like Koine and shit like that. Like it was nuts.
That's ridiculous. Did any of them ever finish their theological education?
A couple of them did. Yeah. A couple of them stopped working on the site eventually and like finished their school. I mean, here's the thing. If you wanted to be a philosophy major at Harvard at that point, I think Divinity School was the way you did it. Was why most of them were philosophy guys. They weren't like joining the priesthood or anything like that. They were philosophers and thinkers, which is why the site ended up the way it is.
More of a means to an end.
Yeah. So, somebody, this thread started with a picture and a MIDI sound that was embedded in the page and auto played. And then it was edited by one of the mods, I think by this Bacchus account, which I think was our like catch all mod account. So like we would have to log out and log back in if we wanted to mod something or moderate something.
Sorry, what was the date on this?
This is February 15th, 2000.
Okay.
So this is a lot later than yours. I posted in the mid 90s. I was on like IRC and MUDs mostly. So I didn't, sure. There's no record. Thank God the things I was posting in my early 20s. So it's a picture that's dead. The link is dead. It's to some UKY.edu site. So Kentucky, I guess. Probably on somebody's shell account as a student. And then it was edited and the audio was removed. And apparently then for a while, the start of the thread was just empty, but there were a bunch of people saying word after it. And then Bacchus says, sorry about the goof up, guys. I removed the sound and reopened the thread. I apologize for not posting a reason. Shouldn't do stuff like this at work. And then there's a smile icon GIF. Okay. And then I get down here at the bottom. I have no idea. Shin Gukai says, let me tell you what I miss in 3D shooters and why Doom 2 is still my favorite. Remember that stage? I forget the level number where you hit the switch or something and literally hundreds of enemies start teleporting in front of you. Or do you remember in Tricks and Traps when you walk into a room and you see all these imps looking the other way? And when you shoot them, you don't realize that they are teleporting behind you. I miss fighting hundreds of dumb, weak enemies, and I'm sure it'll be a while before 3D accelerators will be able to throw dozens and dozens of enemies on screen at once. GL Doom makes things interesting. 3D stage sprites, stages with sprites for enemies. I would love to see a Doom sequel that used that format instead of all 3D.
This was you?
No, that's Shin Gukai.
Oh, right. Okay.
So now my response is absolutely right. We are just beginning to recover from the conversion to 3D rendered games. I think that TNL, Transform and Lighting, should give developers the opportunity to have bunches of enemies on at a time, but we will see if people take advantage of it. I loved the Doom 2 Suburbs map where hundreds of bad guys, all different types, kept teleporting in as you came to different areas, till finally about 80 came in at one time in a big open area. Tricks and Traps was pretty cool too. Took me 2 deaths to figure out that they were coming in behind me. View image, emoticon.
This is how you know that we are horrible nerds, or were back then, probably still are.
Yeah.
All we could do was nitpick the downsides of the 3D accelerator revolution. We're not wrong. Like the number of enemies on screen was quite limited for a while. You know, like I after I got a Voodoo after a few months, I went back to software Quake because I got a higher frame rate there.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I mean, for multiplayer, for sure, you always played software.
Yes.
There's a lot of yeah.
So wait, so we don't know who the god in question is here?
I think that the GIF was a GIF of like a bazillion enemies zooming in front of you in Doom.
Interesting.
And then
okay.
The MIDI was probably the Doom music, if I had to guess.
Okay.
Because people in the thread are talking about having their stereo hooked up to their computer watching The Matrix the night before. And like opening that page in the forum and having it blow out the music. And they're like, oh man, that's too loud. Oh, fuck yeah.
Dude, the Matrix, the DVD of The Matrix was perhaps the most like trialed sort of tech demoed piece of media in the history of existence. I think for people getting their first DVD players in their living room, people getting their first like big AV setup home theater, getting your first DVD-ROM on your computer, like anywhere that The Matrix could show up as a piece of demo content, it was showing up.
I'm going to tell you, you probably weren't going to trade shows at that point, but the first trade show I went to was Comdex in 99, which was in the fall. And when you were walking around the floor of Comdex, which was like CES, but only for computers, not there were no refrigerators and like limited car stereos and stuff like that. You would walk around and every monitor had the trailer of The Matrix on it, right? Like, and then the next year when I went back in 2000, it was just the movie playing on DVD on it at yep. every single booth. Like,
yep.
Like you went to I can't remember, Panasonic or somebody had the TV deal. So you'd go in and they'd have the giant wall of flat screens, which at that point was kind of underwhelming because it was like 2000, you know, early times. But every screen would be playing The Matrix and they'd all be synced. And like you just see Keanu Reeves going arms over his head, waving.
Yep.
Also, that movie has aged really well. I watched it a few months ago and it still is awesome. It still rips.
That's good to hear. I'm assuming the sequels have aged.
What sequels?
poorly, similarly poorly.
There were sequels? I didn't know they made sequels.
I don't know. There's some okay stuff.
There's one good movie in those two movies.
They should have just stopped. How great would it have been if they had just stopped?
What if
they had just made one Matrix movie and left it alone? And like, think how, not that it's not still a great movie in its own right, but think how iconic, like just like a thing of myth the Matrix would be if they had just made the one.
Hey, my car finished charging.
No. Oh.
My car texts me, Brad.
What?
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
I want to go back to the 90s.
I firmly believe that there's one good movie in those two movies. Like if you did like a supercut and took the good bits out of those two movies,
okay,
you could tell a coherent story in like 2.5 hours that is compelling and good and not full of bad nonsense.
Yeah.
And has some like, cause the, like those, like that car sequence that they shot in Oakland is still incredible.
Yeah, for sure. Like a lot of the action, well, most of the action, like the, what did they call the Burly Brawl? I think was the name Burly for Brawl's that.
Bad.
Like that CG has really not held up, but the car chase is yeah. Like I know people who were extras in, I know somebody who was a driver, like an extra driver of a car in that car chase sequence.
I worked with a couple people who really did they like, were they like a stunt driver? Or were they just like in the background driving? Like
I don't know
person?
What capacity this might've been very, I would assume they're just a person in the Orson games. I would assume a pretty limited capacity. Cause if you had any action involvement whatsoever, you'd probably need real training.
Well, I had a couple of friends that I worked with at Future who took the days off and went and were in the dance are in the background of the dance sequence and stuff like that. Yeah.
Can they
in the cave,
can they spot themselves?
Cause
there's a lot of people in that scene.
So you couldn't see them. Like they were able to point out and be like, I was standing over here behind this pillar,
okay.
But like you couldn't see them on the DVD releases. You maybe can see them on the 4Ks. I don't know.
Okay. That's cool. I have no idea what they're going to do with the new one. Like, I don't necessarily need another Matrix movie, but I am pretty curious what they do with it, considering how they wrapped up that trilogy and who's in it. Considering there are like multiple people that died in the third movie are cast in this one, but I mean, whatever. It's cyberspace, right? Like they can do whatever they want.
I really liked, for what it's worth, the Animatrix stuff was really good that they did between the first movie and the second movie. And I thought the way they handled the Matrix Online stuff was really cool. Like, I think that thing as a, what the post Matrix looks like, right, I'm sure they're going to throw all that canon out, but like, yes. That was a cool ass thing at the time.
Didn't they kill Morpheus in Matrix Online?
I probably killed all of them in Matrix Online, right? Anybody who survived.
Maybe. I just want to say that was a big promoted event of like, Morpheus is going to die. You need to play this game.
Death of Morpheus.
Also, you know, everybody knows if you die in the Matrix Online, you die in real life.
That's true. That is fact.
Yeah. Let's see. I've got a few posts about computer hardware on here. Not a ton. I was apparently pretty obsessive about that stuff back
shocking.
Then.
Shocking. This is shocking
I
to
was,
me.
I was specifically, I badly wanted an 8-bit IT5H revision 2.
Oh, that was a good ass motherboard.
Well, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's a BH7, BH6, BH7
board. Yes, it was
seven
the last,
board.
I looked it up. I actually found the Anantech review of that board from 1998, I want to say. Yes, January 1998, where they say that apparently the revision 1.5 of that board actually had like voltage regulator problems and there were reasons not to get it. It was an HX based motherboard. Does that ring any bells?
Yeah, it's a Socket HX, 7 board, right?
Intel HX chipset. Yes, Socket 7. Wow, yeah, actually, this says.
This is the last of the Socket 7s, I think.
This was written by Anand himself, who I guess was probably writing most of the content.
He was
back
probably
then.
The only person writing back then, yeah.
Yeah, he says, the final revision of the IT5H revision 2 will be the last ever HX-based motherboard made by 8-bit, and most likely the best HX-based motherboard you can get your hands on. That is, if you can get your hands on one of the limited quantities of 2.0s produced. I guarantee that sentence maybe what pushed me over the edge to wanting that board, him saying, oh no, I take that back. My Usenet post is from 6 months before that review ran. So I guess I'm wrong.
Oh, I was a TX guy.
TX.
I got a TX motherboard chipset for Socket 7 for my last Socket 7s.
I don't remember the TX.
It was after the it's higher letters.
It was
the next version of the chipset, basically.
I'm trying to think. That was a Pentium chipset, right? Like original Pentium, I believe.
Yeah, that was original Pentium. Before, Socket 7 would have been original Pentium, yeah, and K6. also.
Right. Wait, what do you mean?
Because Socket 7 was compatible across.
Oh, AMD. God.
The Socket 7 was the last open socket.
I totally forgot that the AMD chips used to work in Intel motherboards.
Yeah, so you could take a K up to like a K62-300 and jam it in a TX motherboard.
I completely forgot about that. That sounds so foreign at this point, the like, idea.
Right? Right.
Which I mean, I guess is like, that's kind of like how they built their business, right? Originally it was just like, hey, here is a cheaper CPU that works in hardware that's already available.
Yeah. Hey, you, but even more than that, hey, you have this expensive ass computer and it's too slow now.
Right.
You don't have to throw the whole thing out. You can just buy this new thing and put it in and it'll take be it, faster.
Take it down to the screwdriver shop and pay them, what, $150? Maybe $200.
Like the K62s were pretty expensive, I think. They were, I feel like they were $200.
But it was still a
high end one.
By comparison, it was still a nice budget upgrade, right?
Yeah, like, you spent $400 or $500 and get something really nice instead of having to spend another $2,500.
Yeah, and then that was back when the CPU upgrade made a huge difference in just the basic usability of the computer.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It was not just like 10% higher frame rate in games or something, like the whole thing was better. Anyway, September 24th, 1997. Here is me on alt.comp.perifs.mainboard.abit.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. By now, it's become apparent to me that asking when on this product is moot. But does anyone have any new information at all on when the IT5H revision 2 will be available? ABIT, if you're listening, please fill us in with any news. Thanks.
ABIT, if you're listening, that's my favorite.
I've got the better part of a computer in my closet right now because I don't have a motherboard to put everything in.
No.
Frowny face.
Oh no.
Frowny face. That would have been the Pentium 200 that I built in 1997.
So there's two things here. One, it's really funny that you said ABIT if you're listening, because I bet they weren't paying attention to Usenet, but like,
oh, definitely not.
The fact that, but we say that like it's definitely not, but now like if you bitch about Comcast on Twitter, then they're like, hey, can we help you with your customer service issue? We'd be happy to get in here and do whatever we can to make this right. Like, what a fucking weird. Like that, I know in 1997, you would have said, ABIT, are you listening, as like a meme, like as a rhetorical device, not a literal, I think this brand is going to be monitoring communications about itself.
Right. I was just screaming into the void at that point.
But like also here at 20 years later, the idea that a brand would have access to a world, like the idea that ABIT isn't paying, or I mean, not that ABIT exists, but the idea that ASUS isn't paying attention to the r/ASUS subreddit on Reddit is insane.
Right. Like they employ an entire team of people to monitor stuff like that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just
like, what a shift, right?
Yeah. Some things are better. Some things are worse. You know, the internet is a land of contrasts.
Oh, yeah. So did you end up getting the board eventually?
I did.
Okay.
I got one response to that post. No, I'm sorry. I got two responses to that post. I talked with a distributor today and he told me that October he would have the Rev 2.
Oh, there you go.
So, guy, from what I've heard, we should be seeing the Rev 2.0 boards here within the next 2 weeks. I was so obsessive about the motherboard because the previous computer we had in my house was insanely unstable.
Oh,
like it was like it would just blue screen randomly like daily.
Do you have like a Cyrix or something?
It was a Pentium 75.
Oh,
but I overclocked it to 90.
What? That's shocking, blue screened.
The guy at the screwdriver shop who sold us that computer. Literally, as we bought the computer, right on the way out the door, his name was Mac.
Uh-huh.
He was a very like kind, like slight little guy with spiky hair, like very 90s.
Yeah.
He was just like, hey, let me show you something. He was like, literally, like before we took it out of the store, he was like, if you just take this jumper and you move it.
Oh, yeah.
From here over to here, you can make it go faster.
My Pentium 60 went from 60 to 66 hertz. Dude,
that's
10% straight up.
That's 6 megahertz. It sold as a Pentium 75. The motherboard could also push it to 90 and 100. It would not get past post at 100, but it totally booted and worked at 90 for some months until it started blue screening all the time.
I was gonna say, like, the idea that you wouldn't know when the motherboard is coming out. like that when it wasn't going to be available and get into the channels is really interesting and weird, because like that stuff now is so fast that like they don't announce it unless they have a date and you can order it and Amazon tells you when it's going to get there, or Newegg or whoever you buy it from is going to tell you when it gets there. It's really totally weird.
Also, to be fair, this was not a new product. This was just the third revision of an existing product, right? Like, that was a level of minutia that, like, almost nobody besides Anand was keeping track of.
Well, and it was funny because, like, I think the difference between HX and TX, the big one was that the TX had the ATA66 stuff and the other one was only a 33 megahertz ATA bus, I think.
Interesting.
But it's, like,
but oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, that's it.
We can move on. But that the experience of having that super unstable computer is absolutely what informed my obsessive research of computer parts.
Oh, yeah.
Forever after. Like, that's why starting with this build, I was like eyeballing every single thing that went into that machine, because like I never wanted a computer that crashed all the fucking time again.
Did you ever consider undoing the overclock?
No, I did. Like, I immediately brought it back to 75 after it started getting unstable. But it was whatever damage was done was already done. It was too late.
The electrons were leaking.
It never recovered. I mean, that thing had no cooling. Like, there was no, I might be wrong. There
my might have 60 been was a bare chip, a bare Pentium chip.
There might have, it might have been one of the ones with like a ceramic package. That was kind of a heat sink of sorts, right?
No. That was just, so mine had the ceramic cover, the chip cover, but it was no fins. It was just like a big ceramic thing on top of it. That was kind of like that you could have glued a heat sink to, but there was no mount even for a heat sink in that case.
I think that's what ours was as well, was just the ceramic package on there.
Like, remember the ads, the old Intel ads, where you would zoom through the computer and you'd see all the lights and stuff, and then on the chip there would be Pentium Intel. Yes. Pentium, and it'd have a logo. That's literally what it looked like in my computer. Yeah. Minus the cool lights,
right? It's just a bare chip just sitting there. Nowhere for that heat to go.
So I've got one. This is about PDAs, not public displays of affection, but this is a Poltechnica thread, handheld longevity of use, by the Imperator Ken Fisher, who started ours. It says, after buying / obtaining your handheld Palm / Win CE, this was in May of 2000, how long did you actually use it? And then there's a bunch of people that reply. He puts his response in. And midway through the second page, a couple of days later, we had a lot of activity. Okay. I am an unabashed Palm fiend. I love my Pro, my 3, and my 5 equally, although the 5 is the only one I carry regularly. My main problem with the 5 isn't the 2 megabytes of memory, but the fact that the leather cover thing has split off from the shaft / holder thing, and I can't find one that isn't the funky alligator skin stuff. Ellipses. I wouldn't mind having the OmniSky service either. Precious wireless.
Was this after Lord of the Rings came out?
This was in May of 2000, so it was before Lord of the Rings.
Okay, wow. Okay.
That was a Homer Simpson, not a Gollum.
Ah, yes, of course. Okay. Because everything on the internet was a reference to something nerdy back then.
You couldn't not reference things. It was
the only way people knew how to talk.
Like, PDAs. Yeah, I wore the cover for my... I used to have a holster that had a pivot. When I worked at the university, I carried a Palm 5 for work because we carried our database and stuff on it. And I had like a quick release holster that had a little button on the side, but the Palm would spin so I could sit there and spin it on my hip. It was like
you were the fastest Palm in the West.
I was an incredible nerd.
That's amazing. That's incredible. We'll see. Is that the end of that one?
Thank God.
That's okay. I've got one more here. That I'll throw out. I mean, there are some others that are too embarrassing, I think, to read.
Oh, people will find them. Don't worry. You've given enough information for them to find all of this.
Oh, God. The last one I was going to bring up is this is actually from last year. This is maybe kind of an unwelcome surprise that I found that apparently. So I emailed the maintainer of the FFmpeg port on FreeBSD.
In 1996?
No, last year. This is last year.
Gotcha.
People on the Discord were involved in this situation.
Okay.
The FFmpeg build on FreeBSD does not have libSRT support enabled. I needed that for some video experimentation stuff I was doing. I emailed the maintainer of that port asking if maybe the next time they built it, the next version, if they could enable libSRT.
Sorry.
And first of all, I thought I was just emailing a person because you're just emailing a mailing address. It did not occur to me that this, I didn't say anything embarrassing at all. I was just asking like, hey, I'm not a developer, but is there any chance you could enable this?
This ended up on Usenet?
Yeah. So I don't think it's Usenet. I think it's just Google Groups is pulling other things into it besides old Usenet. Like it's listed where the Usenet or the news group name would normally be. It just says FreeBSD mailing list. So I assume this went out on a public mailing list somewhere.
Oh, so probably, yeah, they're using Google Groups to archive their mailing list, would be my guess.
So
yeah.
I did not, it did not occur to me that this would be public when I emailed this person. But it, I was trying to be very diplomatic and like, you know, grateful for their work and all this stuff. Like I ended it by saying, thanks for your work, exclamation mark. But at the end of my email, and this is public again, this is very embarrassing. The end of my email says, this is a bit over my head as I'm not a developer, but if I can help, please let me know. Or if I'd be better off trying to build this from source myself, let me know that too. The response from the maintainer of this port.
Yeah.
Sorry, not interested.
I'm sorry, Brad.
That was a good, fun, graybeard experience of just
no
like
limits RT is, for you, sir.
I mean, people on the Discord, I apologize. I this is one of those usernames I never quite know how to pronounce. Y-cross.
Y-cross is it.
You know, that's how I say it in my head. I bet that's not
Y-cross
right.
Y-cross is a regular on my Twitch stream. I've said Y-cross for 4 years, so I assume Y-cross is correct because I have not been corrected.
Apologize if that is not the correct pronunciation. But anyway, he did a ton of work helping me. Like we actually dug into the source of the port ourselves, and like he'd helped me make a bunch of changes to the makefile to enable that stuff myself.
Oh, really?
Actually, and it works? Took ages, took like 8 hours of work, but we finally got it to build with that flag enabled.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it totally worked.
Y-cross rips.
Yes, he is awesome. I did not expect that to be a matter of public record, but here we are.
I've got something contentious.
Okay.
This is in the gaming's extra strength caplets forum again. It's called The Gamers Debate, Are You an Invert? From M. Petty.
Oh, boy.
And midway down the first page, to my great shame, it says, this is on 13 June 2000. This is 4 days before I moved to California.
Nice.
All the real players invert. Ellipses, at least the ones I've met, ellipses, inversion gives you better control of vertical movement.
This is you?
That's me.
This is you?
I don't want to talk about it.
I thought I knew you.
I was an invert back then.
It's not just that. You're like a, I don't even know what to call that.
It's an asshole move.
It's a very bossy inverter of like a,
yeah.
Wow.
The next response is from Oz, who is correct. And they say, wrong. It's close, but just a hair more popular to invert. What about Thresh, Fatality, or Machiavelli? Do these guys invert or not? I do believe the people who invert are in the minority of about 50 or so fellow gamers I know personally. Only two invert their mouse.
Oh, man, it's really hard not to call this episode wrong.
It's really funny. It's really funny because like so much because we weren't really online super a lot at that point. Like so much of what I knew about how to play those games was because of the people I played. Like the Linux lab in the CS department had ATI Rage Pro cards. So we could play Quake, GL Quake on them. And like most of what I knew about early FPS play was from playing games with like 20 nerds who were in the CS department who were really into playing Quake. And so, yeah, like everything I knew about all of our tricks about bindings and all that stuff in that time period were very much, hey, this is all communal information shared or stuff that we all like filtered through Redwood and Shack News and Blues and Voodoo Extreme and those places. It was weird. It was a weird time.
If I can say one thing confidently, if you came by all that knowledge playing Quake in the Linux lab in the 90s, then you came by your nerdy assholery, honestly. So that's all I can say. We have to stop. I can't do this anymore.
Hold on. I've got one more. That's okay.
This has to be the last one
to not share. Yeah. This is the last one.
I'm going to jump out the window.
This is after I was at Maximum PC. So this is in October of 2001. Radeon 80. This is a thread titled Radeon 8500 receives a perfect 10 rating exclamation point, large image warning. And they just ripped the magazine page and posted it on the,
you verbally typed large image warning.
No, somebody typed it. Okay. This is not my thread.
Oh, this was not you. Okay.
They're pissed off about my rating.
But they said that it was not built into the forum or something. They manually
typed it because they scanned the page and it was a big image. Yeah.
56K, beware.
So it said, Maximum PC reviewed the 8500 and awarded it a kick-ass rating and a perfect 10 using the relatively old drivers. It was still the fastest card they have ever tested. So then I'm going to call out somebody who says, let's see, hold on, where is it? There's my response. Oh, wow, this is bad. Okay, here we go. I'll read this. Shit, I apologize in advance. Hey, guys, didn't know that I still lurk around the forums here, did ya? I've been using the 8500 for a while now. It's much faster than the NVIDIA cards in some stuff, but not in others. At the time I wrote that review, NVIDIA wasn't even talking about Detonator XP, although I'd heard rumblings from some of my inside sources. The Detonator XP was a driver release.
Oh, dude, I have not thought about Detonator in like 20. Oh, my God. There was so much hype around the Detonator driver release. Just wait till the Detonator is here.
The TI-500 is a little faster than the 8500 in our heavy-duty Quake 3 benchmark, but a little slower in most of the 3D Mark test games, Game 4 being the notable exception. Drivers are my main concern with the board. The hardware is nice and solid, but ATI has notorious driver problems. I ran through the RC2 drivers that they sent me with a fine-tooth comb and tested it with literally dozens of games and wasn't able to find any major problems. Just to be clear, at this point in time, driver problems meant like you'd be playing a game and there'd be holes between polygons in the world, right?
Yes.
Like, it wasn't like, maybe it's a little unstable or maybe the frame rate's a little like micro stutters. It was like, literally you could see through to space.
Yes. Like game did not function correctly. Like entire features were not enabled.
Yeah. Like it wouldn't render grass textures or something. Anyway. The problem with having multiple pixel shader specs is that unless you're running a game that uses the 1.4 spec, the extra features of the Radeon, 10 additional instructions per cycle is the main one, then the Radeon is functionally identical to a GeForce 3. The analogy I use is with enhanced CPU instruction sets. Intel supports SSE2 in the P4. Does SSE2 make stuff faster? Yes, but only if that app supports it. Sure, the R200 chip is theoretically faster due to the new features, but since devs aren't using the 1.4 spec, then there's no way they'll be exposed and consumers won't see a benefit. Also, if our lawyer types see that you're posting scanned images directly from our mag, they'll probably be pissed. / Will Smith, a.k.a. Gonzo.
All right.
So now Spanky says, nothing, and I mean nothing ever, deserves a 10 out of 10 rating. Nothing is ever perfect, and neither is this, and the reviewer even mentions it. If there is problems, didn't run AquaMark, has fractured pixel shader specs, then how can it score perfect? Perfect is perfect, that's all there is to it, and this card ain't it. No card is it, and no piece of hardware nor game is it. Nothing should ever be scored a 10.
Dude. My entire life is flashing before my eyes right now.
I knew this would give you flashbacks. So a couple days later, I respond. One last thing. 10 isn't a perfect product. There are no perfect product. I forgot the S. 10 is the best product in its class, in a class that's awesome and useful and has no major flaws or even annoyances. For example, the Radeon got a 10 because I couldn't find anything wrong with it, and it is as fast or faster than a GeForce 3. A USB 1.0 external hard drive would never be eligible for a 10, even if it was flawless, simply because USB isn't fast enough for the hard drive to perform well. A FireWire external hard drive could conceivably get a 10, but only if it fulfilled all of the other criteria. FireWire hard drives.
Oh, boy.
I used XP. Oh, they were bitching about my XP review, too. I used XP for close to 6 months in different forms. The main complaints I've heard about it are that the interface sucks and that product activation is lame. I did a lot of testing on the activation stuff, and while I don't particularly like it, there's nothing fundamentally bad for the consumer with it, unless you pirate Windows. Wow, that was some real shade I threw there. In which case, it really sucks. And it took me about 30 seconds to figure out how to change the interface to the Windows 98/2000 default. Windows 2000 was great, but it had some flaws. Windows XP fixed those flaws and added a whole lot of useful new stuff. There are no perfect products from human hands, but there can be really, really good ones. The Radeon X8500 is one, as is Windows XP.
That's right. Nothing wrong with Windows XP. That's a 10 right there. We've established that.
Established. If not, sure. Nothing if not consistent.
Nothing could have ever gone wrong with Windows XP.
So then Spanky gets into like, see, this is the problem with the 10 out of 10 system. Percentage is way better. 99%, I could see. That would work for me.
Oh, my God. I can't. I can't. We have to. I'm going to go sit in the shower.
Oh, this weep, goes on for softly. A long time.
Oh my God.
Then there's a guy, Pete, in here says, as for perfect 10s off the top of my head, for movies, I could give The Shawshank Redemption and LA Confidential perfect 10s. They're the pinnacle of filmmaking. God, 90s forms were fucking insufferable.
We have to stop this.
Yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I hope this has been entertaining or insufferable in a fun way, at least.
Yeah, look, everybody was an asshole at some point in time. I can't believe that these...
Grown...
I can't believe that ours, like, just shout out to ours, because these posts are still live. And I mean, I think the threads are locked because they're old, but like, these are still available in their current forum software, I believe.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they've ported everything forward over the last 22 years.
For better or worse.
A lot of my early posts are about the Folding at Home project, it seems.
I had to do something with all that compute.
That's true. I had two CPUs, two cores.
Two physical CPUs.
BP6.
Unheard baby. Of.
Get
unheard
that dual of. Celery action.
Man, oh, man. Dual celery. God, I can't do this anymore.
Love that dual celery.
I'm like cringing myself to death right now.
You're doing
good. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for supporting us. We dearly appreciate it.
We really do. And yeah, I'm really. Look, it's nice sometimes to look back and see what 20 years of growth looks like.
How far we've come.
Yeah, we're normal human beings now, not.
Ish. Well, let's not give ourselves too much credit.
We'll see you all next month and on Sunday with a regular episode of the show. Bye, everybody.